and welcome to Rise Up HR. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast. I am your host, Brenda Sabater, and we're so glad you can join us today. Please be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, and any platform where you listen to your favorite podcasting programs. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is riseup_HR. To be a guest on this show, submit a topic of interest, have questions or feedback about this or other episodes on this show, please email us to connect@riseuphr.net. That is connect@riseuphr.net. Talk to you soon. Being an entrepreneur is a wonderful journey to endeavor. It has its rewards and its benefits, but it also comes with a lot of challenges. Being your own boss comes with risks, but again, the higher the risk, the greater the rewards. And today's guest has come to the show to talk to us how to overcome some of those life challenges and how to meet adversity with resiliency by taking care of our mindset and also taking care of our spirit wholeheartedly. Elizabeth Santiago is a skincare chemist, a wellness and business coach, and also my friend, and she has decided to come on the show to talk to us about her stress management techniques and how she overcomes adversity when she's faced with them. It is with great pleasure and honor to bring this Latinapreneur, mompreneur, to our show so that she can share her secret sauce with us. Welcome to the show, Liz. Oh my gosh, I can't wait for you to share your secret sauce. Hola, welcome.
Hola.
Hi.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Oh, bien. So excited to be here.
Oh, I'm very excited that you're here today. And thank you so much for taking the opportunity to spend some time with me and really chatting it up and letting us know how you do it.
Ooh, yes, yes, yes.
So, you know, I take a lot of pride with my connection and you and I met back in, 2017? I think it was probably the first year I moved back to New York City. And if I'm not mistaken, we met at the Queens Chamber of Commerce. Is that correct?
Yes.
What event was it? Was it the, I can't remember the event.
Yeah, I think it was how to deal with clients that are hard to deal with or something like that.
Oh, was it the difficult, how to handle difficult people?
Yeah,
was something like that. Okay. All right. Wow, that was a good one, right? That was a very good segment. And then we ended up connecting that day and found out that we have mutual friends. Mm-hmm. The world is like six degree in network. So it's so important, like wherever you go, whoever you meet, you know, always be on your P's and Q's at all times, because you just never know. And so it turned out we do have mutual friends. And we actually did a meeting together, a conference together in Spanish.
Yes.
And we were both like, en español. Oh, shoot. Right?
Right.
And I will never forget. And it wasn't that it was because we were speaking Spanish. I think it was the first time that we worked together and, you know, to collaborate on, you know, doing the slide and then you're doing your thing and then I'm doing my thing. And then we're just spending time and we're like, oh my God, we got to spend time. We got to pencil this in. We got a calendar in. I love your strategy. You're like, Bren, can you just send me a calendar invite, please? So I can put this on my calendar. Cause if not, ain't there, you know, and I'm like, oh shoot. Shoot, let me send Liz my calendar. Oh my, you know, here, please accept. Please accept.
Yeah.
So how you been? I haven't seen you in a while. I mean, we've been chatting, but we haven't seen each other in a while because of the pandemic. Yeah. So how you been?
Yeah. I've been great. Really blessed. Yes, it's been a very, 10 months, so, you know, with this pandemic, but, you know, I went through all the emotions, but, you know, I'm grateful to be able to say I'm going forward, pa'lante. You know, it's hard for many, you know, they say it, but it's still very hard. But it was, to be honest with you, the pandemic really slapped me in my face. and helped me realize, for one thing, I was for sure knowing that I wasn't going to die from the COVID. I knew it. What I did know was that if I didn't change my mindset to how blessed I am to take in this opportunity in this world of freedom, you know, I say quotes because, you know, there's a lot of things, but we are in freedom, that I was going to die from the way I keep thinking, the way I keep saying that that's not going to control me. And whether I die physically, you know, it wasn't physically like I was going to die physically, but mentally I was going to be walking like a zombie. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I realized that I had to go through my emotions. I realized that, I know we're going topic, we went straight in, but one of the things that I realized that not only to change my mindset, but what did I need to make sure that this time is stuck? This time that this time it was like, bam, you know what I mean? Like, that's it, no more playing. Because honestly, since 2015, my life has been like, oh, let's go. Oh, let's go. Oh, you know what I mean? And that was because I didn't allow myself to heal. There was no healing time. There was about, you better go. But then every time I went, it was so intense mentally. But I'm here because, one, you're my baby and I love you and I'm excited to be here. And I'm honored that you even thought about me. But I'm here physically in business again because I decided that self-care had to be first. That is something that I teach and that is something that I ignite in many people. But I, again, you know, yes, I've come a long way. But I think the fact that I realize how important it is to understand that the second that you waste doesn't come back to you. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Decide. You're going to have the business or not? Are you going to do this or not? And once you decide, then you have to anchor things that will help you move forward. And this actually was one of them. Rise Up HR, when you asked me, I said, okay, this is going to be one of them because this is actually going to be my last interview until I get my business to where I need to be. And because we're revamping again, we're changing the websites. We're changing, you know, there's two entities now. I'm building my team and there's a lot of amazing, gorgeous things happening that's going to come up. But I was like, for that to happen, no more interviews, no more this. And I said, well, you know, Rise Up HR is going to be my last one. So I'm excited to be here with you.
For now, because I'm sure there's going to be other, you know, podcasters, other interviews, other conferences that you will be in. And I just love the way you're so upfront about it because it's not easy to be an entrepreneur. I mean, from speaking, you know, from that point of view to another, it's really no accident why I asked you to be here, right? It wasn't like, you know, there was the reason why we met. The reason why we ended up working together, the reason why we actually took a hiatus from our friendship for a little bit, because I think we both were going through a time where we were still revamping. Because I remember I came here still like, I'm back in New York City. I left Washington, D.C. And so pretty much all my conversations was that tone of unhappiness, of pure unhappiness. And you're so caring and so thoughtful. And you're, you know, what happened, mamita? You know, what's going on? You know, you're like that, you know, woman support woman, like essence, like you're just that voice, like, you know, I got you. We're in this together, you know, having coffee together, really hashing it out, hashing about our lives, you know, the things that we handle. You know, for example, you have a family, you have a husband, you have kids, and you have older kids, kids that are like what, transitioning from in college, I think it is, or on their way to college, if I'm not mistaken.
I have I think it's 28 or 29, and I have
look at that
five.
And when you told me that, I'm like, stop, Liz. You don't have a 28 year old. Like, you better stop. You know, we're about the same age. Come on, you know. And so, at least, you know, it appeared, and I'm like, damn, she started early, right? But whatever, you know, that was my thought. But still, it's a lot. it's a lot. And, you know, one of many things that I admire is that how you set up boundaries, right? You set up boundaries and you start with giving those proper expectations and what you can do and what you cannot do. And I know that's hard because, you know, as you're starting up, you want to say yes to everything, right? There's no limit. The sky's the limit. Pa'lante, right? And so you wanted to say, you know, let's do this. Talk to me about how you set up those boundaries and what was your pivot moment when you, because you started saying it earlier, but what was it that, you know, what happened in 2015, right? That really caused, like, I have to either rebrand, pump the brakes, and really be careful with what I commit myself to.
Yeah. Well, actually, so I've been going through transitions in my life, and I realized that is one of the best things that I was able to honor and create, you know, boundaries for, to protect. And mm-hmm. 2015 was one of my hardest, and you know, very personal. There's something very personal that happened. And then I believe the year before that, my father had died, and that's, you know, within that year that he was with me, that's when I just, you know, we found out he had Alzheimer's. Then, you know, I was taking care of him, and then I had to close my, you know, my pop-up shop, because at that time I had pop-up shops, and I closed them. Then within that time, I realized that I almost lost my daughter because I was so consumed in trying to build a business and get out of the rut that I was in, that I wasn't paying attention to what's the most important thing to me is family. And so my daughter was going through stress as well as all of us, because we were, something came up that we had to like rush our lives to get to. But in doing so, we kind of had our own separate lives to make sure that happened. And so I remember that I said, okay, enough is enough. I need to have family time, because one of the most important thing to me was family dinners. But my oldest daughter already had moved out, and I still had my daughter and my young son. And I said, we all having dinner. And I don't know what it was. I don't know what happened. But my oldest daughter said, Mom, if she keeps up with her heart like that, because she had a heart problem, which we didn't know, never knew that she had heart problems. And she kept saying her heart hurts. And I was saying, oh my gosh, she's stressed. And she was saying, Mom, you know, if she's continuing with the heart problems, please consider taking her to the emergency room. And I said, and I'm not listening to what my daughter is saying. I was like, oh yeah, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. Yeah. That's not me. But I was just saying this. And so we sit down at dinner, whatever. And the next day I asked her, hey baby, how's your heart? She goes, and she says, Mommy, it's not feeling good. So I take her to the hospital, whatever. After about the third doctor, I tell him how long she's been having this palpitation. He takes me to the side. He says, you know, if you didn't bring her in, she would have never woken up the next day. So wow. When he said that, you know, of course now I'm hearing him saying, you know, he's far away, but then I have to get back to me, because that's, you know, I have to be present for my daughter. So we were there, we needed to, you know, I was there for her in the hospital and everything. After she was well and everything, like 2 weeks later, I realized that I had given away all of my powers. I had succumbed to fear in a way that I never allowed it to succumb, because of finances and all the other stuff. I just became this person that was just like in a robot mode. And here, because of this, I almost lost my daughter. I think that was the first time that I realized that I was going through some mental distress, and I wasn't really paying attention to it, because I still needed to do what I need to do for us to be safe. But because I wasn't allowing myself to understand that I needed to have these boundaries in order for me to move where I needed to move, like I forgot them, I was unable to reach where I wanted to reach. And yet everything just became worse. Mm-hmm, but I think that by the time that we met, I was learning and realizing, no, this can't be like this. I have to go back. There's certain things that, you know, I'm proud of myself that I, you know, and one of them is having boundaries, being organized, and know your next steps, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we met, I knew that there had to be boundaries and there had to be mutual respect in time management. Mm-hmm. And from there forth, even though I still was in the process of self-care for myself, but I knew boundaries was the utmost important thing if I needed to do anything that would work, right?
Right, to take care of yourself, your family, your business, your dreams.
Yes.
Save your daughter's life.
All the pillars of life.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just incredible. So, you know, when we think about starting our own business, or when people hear, or actually commit to, oh, I'm going to start my own business. And then when you hear others doing it, you know, you look at this like, oh, wow, that's exciting. And it is. It is. It's a great journey to be on. But yeah. You also have to be authentic about it and realistic about it. Yeah. And also, especially if you have a family, or even if you don't have a family, there are other things that are happening, right? Exactly. There are other things, you know, that is happening in life. Life happens. It doesn't stop. You know, time waits for no one. You know, I'm listening to your story and I've heard it, you know, a couple of times and I'm fascinated because I'm like, how do you do it again? I mean, because it's hard. It is hard, but I think what makes it hard is that mindset you talked about.
Yeah.
You know, when I hear your story, I think about that iceberg pyramid that, you know, the success and that's all the way on top. And then right. At the bottom, you know, where the rut and the water is all the hard work and the nasty things that happens, you know, but this is what people see. And what people see is Liz's smile, the glow, the I can do it attitude, you know, and I, that was the energy that was so like, yeah, I got to get to know this person. You know, we have to start working together at some capacity because this is the energy I need. Mm. Accountability, you're right, because don't worry, I've been through that, you got this, you know, and that accountability, that Latinapreneur support another Latina, it's just amazing. We definitely need to be surrounded by people who can support each other, because I admit women can be catty in a group of Latinas. Sorry Latinas, but I'm unapologetic, I'm not really that sorry with what I'm about to say. We become freaking catty, we become territorial, we become, you know, chismosas, we come, and you know, unfortunately, it's not because we intentionally do it. Sometimes our environment allows us to do it. Mm-hmm. And we forget who we are as a person in that community. Mm-hmm. And then we become them, mm-hmm. or whatever who them is, you know? But you are consistent. And that is phenomenal. That's the authenticity that stays within you. Like I said, we've had, you know, moments in our lives, like, you know, we need a break, you know, we just can't, you know, I'll focus on my business, but I can't talk to other people at the same time. I just need to focus. Right. And you taught me a lot about that, right? You taught me how to prioritize in many ways. One of the things that I love on the presentation you did at the chamber, and if you can please welcome me and welcome to our listeners to hear what you talked about. When you started your company, it wasn't easy. As in anything that we endeavor. And you talked about separation of your finances and number one, how do you look at your business? Is it a hobby or is it a business? Mm-hmm. Can you chime in on this? Cause it was a fascinating presentation.
Thank you. When I started my business, it was a hobby and I didn't even know it. So that's how I can really identify when someone is working on a hobby platform or they're in it as an entrepreneur platform. So if, just to make sure I understand your question, you want to know the difference or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Because you started as, you know, trying to balance out your finances, you mm-hmm. know, open up a checking account, yes. go put it in your personal account, yes. and then look at, how do you look at your company? Is it a hobby? Are you going to treat it as a hobby? Are you going to borrow right. from the hobby or from the, like things like that?
Okay. So mm-hmm. when I started my business, I did it right. I did have an account for my business and everything, but I still was treating it as a hobby.
Mm.
One, my mental state was, this is my business, but I wasn't going about it where it needed to make money, right? So my thing was, it doesn't, you know, I'm here just to create something magnificent, but of course I needed money, but I wasn't doing my business as if what's the next move that we need to do to make sure the bank account represents, you know, what we need to do next. So that was a hobby mindset that, you know, I was just making products, talking to my clients and never saying, hey, would you like this? You know, would you like to put, you know, buy this? What do you think about this with that? It was just a beautiful conversation. In fact, people who came into my store, we had a life coaching moment because I'm forever, I don't know, it's a beautiful thing. I'm blessed with it, but they will leave saying, oh my God, Lisa, I need to come back because you're so amazing. Thank you for making me feel this way. And then they leave without buying nothing. I never asked them to buy anything. I had a very bad relationship with money at that point. And I realized that how am I going to ask this person for money if this person is going through, you know what I mean? Whatever. But another thing that people need to understand is that if you don't really look at your finances, right, and you don't separate them, like if you have it in your personal business and in there you do your personal buying and everything, and also you do your business buying, your mindset is not in a business mode, is in a habit mode, hobby mode. Why? Because you're spending that money from the company that you don't even realize does not belong to you, because the business, it needs to make its own money to grow. So you're trying, you know, it's like, you know, have you seen bodegas? Or I don't mean to say bodegas, but that's because I, you know, that's how I
remember. We're from New York. We have bodegas.
But you see a lot of, I've seen it where owners go and, you know, they have their family with them and they want pizza. They go into the cash register and they go and they take that cash register money. That cash register money does not belong to that pizza. You know, it doesn't belong to you yet, right? It belongs to the company. And so that's the same thing when you don't have a bank account, right? You're putting it in your personal account and you are, you know, you're buying things personal there that, you know, you're not supposed to, because then why are you an entrepreneur? If you do that, you're just gonna put yourself in more financial rut. So, and by you having your own bank account, your own business account, bank account, that's another step to realize, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. Hey, I have a business. And you can really see the money coming in and out. That's important, right? Besides the, you know, if you have to do your taxes and then you get an audit and then, you know, they see your personal stuff. That's, you know, that's another thing you don't want. But having everything separate from your you know, your personal finances and your business finances, it's just should it be done, because again, it is they're two different entities, but your mindset is in a better business mode than it will be in that habit mode, right? It's another step. It's not the only step. It's another step. Because remember me, when I started, I had the bank account, but I was still in a hobby mode because I didn't have the mine was the money. My main thing was, bendito, you know, I was assuming. Mm-hmm. And when you're not a hobbyist, one, you create things and you don't sell it. You don't have a store. You don't have the potential or the idea to sell. That's a hobby. Mm-hmm. But if you have the idea and the wanting to sell, then now you become a business, mm-hmm. right? So, and if that business cannot pay the expenses, what is it gonna tap into? Your personal. And then once it taps into your personal, what's gonna happen? You end up negative, right? And everybody got rut. Mm-hmm. So those are one of the things that I wanted to make sure that they understood the importance of having separate account. Another way that you can do it is, and honestly, I did it, I have done it, is that, you know, if you close your business account for whatever the reason is and you only have a personal, then just open a personal account that's just for your business until you're ready to open a business account. Make sense? It's still kind of...
Because you're building that wealth, that growth.
You don't want to do that. But my idea is to make you a better business person, right?
But I think that's a very, for those who are aspiring entrepreneurs who haven't gotten their LLC yet or whatever the case business structure is, I think that's a phenomenal idea, because it allows you to kind of build up on that deposit that you're going to make and also gives you time to go out and set up and structure your business, whether it's an LLC or an S corp or whatever the case may be. And then you can take that fund, you can still use it, you know, you can still write it off on your taxes as a 1099 expense of some sort or consultant's work, And then you can, but I'm not a CPA, so please don't misconstrue this as
advice. Oh, yes, please. This is just my personal knowledge of what I'm not
an accountant whatsoever. But no, I totally get it. And I respect that, because that's really how it is when you're first starting. Now, Liz, you've been in business for 20 years, right? And you've been, you know, studying, you're a biologist, a chemist. You know, you've been doing skincare for a very, very long time. And so what was it that really helped you pivot in a way where, like, this is no longer my hobby, and now you're rebranding, you're in the middle of rebrand. Tell us about that experience and the folks you've hired in between.
It's a long journey from where I come from. When I closed all my stores in 2009, that was my most expensive business experience. And one of the things I knew that I needed to do was first realize that this is what I want to continue doing. If I do, how do I become a better leader? If you become a better leader, I think you become a better business person. And that was one of the things that I first needed to do, was create personal development and business development. Then in 2013, when I decided to come back, I knew that I didn't want to open any stores because I don't want to overhead. More importantly, I wanted to really rekindle my relationship with my clients and see where we can go. But like I said, in between that time, I think I did in the middle of 2013 and 2014, I got a call that my father was going through Alzheimer's. So he had to come from Santo Domingo. So I took care of him. And then in the middle of 2014, I had to close again all of my pop-up shop.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, okay, I have to stop. But here's another pivot. I realized, as I'm talking to my father, because he was in and out. And when he was out, he was like, you know, when the little times that he was able to be present, he would say to me, because he calls me Nyanya. Nyanya, what kind of business deals can we do together? I've never heard him talk like that. And I went, Dad? He goes, yeah. Let's do business together. I said, but what do you think we should do? You know what he tells me? You're missing something. Let's do that. And then he went back into the, you know, went into the state of Alzheimer's. And that hit me so hard. I'm like, what the hell was that about? Then in 2014, we had the bad news with my daughter and another personal bad news. And then my husband lost his job of, I don't know how many fucking years. Sorry. Him and his father really made it big. And for maybe 25 years, and his father was there for about 47 years. But the point was that it was the end of that year. And so now we were like, okay, now what do we do? And then again, you know what my husband said? I told him, I don't know if I want to do my business. He goes, what do you mean? Yes. I don't know. He goes, what do you mean? I mean, this is who you are and you haven't even touched it. You're missing something. Second time. And I was like, I'm missing something, but I've changed couple of times already. When I closed the store, I changed, you know, my how I'm going to approach things and stuff like that. He said, what the hell am I missing? And then he goes, well, what do you love doing? I said, educating. And then he goes, well, didn't you always say that you wanted to educate people in how to live a better life? And mind you, in 2005, I did the Ayurvedic course to help people. And I never used it. And then in 2015, I said, oh my God, this is it. If I'm going to bring out Celebrity, it's not only going to be a skincare product company, it's going to be a service. So now, so I'm going to start bringing in the health coaching so I can help people understand the root of the matter of their skin ailment or their health issue. That's what's missing. And I've always knew that, but I never allowed myself to have that success. And that's when I was like, oh my God, that's it. So although I have the health education, I said I wanted to go back into on learning how to become a better, you know, going into the health industry and educate myself more. I educated myself more and I graduated, and now my company became a product and a service company. But guess what happened? Just when I was about to make that change, something else happened. And so I concentrated on doing my energy on my clients instead of my business. Because, you know, I'm also a business coach. So, but business coach is my business. But my main, what I love doing is the skincare and the coaching to help people that are suffering from problematic skin and going through all these emotional states and understanding that it's not just about diet, it's about the whole mind, body, and soul. So I coach about that. I teach about food. I teach about, you know, why is this happening, you know?
So let's spend a little bit of time on that, because I'm very curious. This is a passion of yours that you capitalized on. Talk to us about the effects, the things that can affect our skin. Right. Because it's not, I mean, I'm not the expert here, but, you know, people think, oh, it's the chemicals I'm putting in my face. But, you know, there are a lot of times when I say, you know, mama, what are you doing? You're drinking coffee. You're drinking way too much coffee. You know, you gotta take it easy. And I'm like, but why? I love coffee. And
I remember that conversation. I remember that.
And I'm like, I love coffee. So talk to us about, you know, how to take care of our skin better and what, I guess, what do you do to help us protect it?
Well,
what do you coach to help us protect
it? So one of the things is, okay, the skincare products are good and they're really helpful. Mm-hmm. But the idea for you to really create that radiance that you're looking for is to understand why is this happening, right? So for you, when you was mainly, if it's okay with me, you were in a beautiful space, but you was stressed, right? We were going through a lot of stress at that moment. And coffee was something that was important to you. It was a comfort drink.
It was keeping me up, Liz.
It was keeping me up. I know, you know, but one of the things that we want to understand is that when you have this type of skin ailments or this type of, you lost your luster, or your hair's falling out, or you're moody, or you know, it's a lot of things that you don't understand. The idea is to first step back and then ask yourself, what's happening to me, right? Write it down. It's beautiful. It's gonna be a little bit uncomfortable because now you really see it, but step back if you need to write it right. And the skin issues that happens are really the sign that something's happening inside, right? You're either stressing yourself to the too chronic. So stressing is not bad if it's short term. Where the problem comes is when there's a chronic stress that is continuous. So the inside starts going through something and then your skin starts showing what's going on, right? And it could be via allergies, acne, rosacea, psoriasis, all these things can arise, right? And oh my God, I lost my thought. But all these amazing things can happen. So when it comes to creating a skincare regimen, the radiant skincare that you want, think about first the product that you're using. Do you understand what's in the ingredients? Do you understand that, you know, what type of skin type do you have, right? Do you understand why those skin types that, you know, the skin type that's happening to you, is it always, is it, you know, seasonal? Is it when you're stressed? Is it when you eat some things? What's happening to you? We don't have the time for that, right? We think we don't have the time for that. And having the skin that you want is not a magic pill. The skin products do help, right? But if you want it to last, you want to understand what's happening. And that creates laughter creates radiant skin.
Okay. And I heard it's good for weight loss too. Just throwing it out there.
Weight loss?
Yes. Yeah.
No, not so much.
It's
weight loss, but it, in a way it is, because it helps you feel good about you, right? You want to lose weight. But the idea first is for you to be happy.
Yes.
And some people say, well, I need to lose weight to be happy. I get it. But no, mm-hmm. Something in there.
Or another person to be happy.
So you want to understand that for me, I have the product, I have the skincare products. I help you create that beautiful, radiant, supple skin that you want. And people say, oh my God, your skin looks amazing. Of course it looks amazing. They tell me because you have the product. I say, yes, but it's also because I love. It's also because I'm growing, right? So what works for me yesterday may not work for me today. And I have to be okay with that. I have to learn. Also because, you know, I'm like everybody else. You know, sometimes I work so hard, so much that I just need 3 days just to be on the sofa and just watch TV without feeling, you know, guilty about it. And of course, then when I get back up, I'm like, oh my God, why did I take that time? I got so much to do. And I'm like, okay, stop. You feel good. It's going well. So skin health has to do with your state of mind, the products that you're using, of course, but more importantly, your state of mind and your personal development on your spirituality, on your career, on your friendship, right? What is it? What makes you happy? How do you detox from, you know, not only foods that are not good for you, but people that are not good for you? You have to know how to be able to detox your home. Okay, that space has been, I've been looking at that space and that space be giving me a lot of anxiety. What can I do to fix that space? It seems simple, but it's so important for people to understand that.
I mean, is it really simple? Because it's hard. A lot of things that I heard, what I'm hearing you say, it does take work and there's a lot of habits we form. We build attachments to things, to people, to our habits.
Yeah.
And so, you know, not to challenge you, but I believe that it's definitely not easy because it's something that takes over time. You know, stress actually kills you over time and it compounds and it develops all these, you know, acne stuff that comes out of your face. It's kind of like your body reacting to what it doesn't want.
Right.
And it's telling you got to do something about it because I'm going to start with your face, but then I'm going to go into your organs.
No, it starts from the inside. Oh, actually.
Right.
The face is the last, is the message telling you there's something going on inside.
Oh, look at that.
So yeah, there are two types of skin problems, the external and the internal, mainly is the internal. So this is what I mean by simple. And I'm a victim to it. In order for things to work, our mindset says it has to be hard. Oh, that's too simple. That's not going to work. No. What? Just have one cup of coffee instead of five? That's not going to work. I did it for 2 days. It's not going to work. You know what I mean? You know, cleaning that little section? That's not going to work. You know, doing a simple walk, you know, so I can feel my energy, my heart rate in a very healthy way. That's not going to work. Simple things for people, they feel it's not going to work because we've been taught that if you don't work hard and if it doesn't like make you feel like you're almost at the floor crying, it's not going to work. That's what I mean by simple, right? Of course, it's right there and you can touch it, you know, it's right there. And I know that it may not seem simple, but you've got to change your mindset and know that it is simple.
Mm-hmm. That's
it. It's simple. Mm-hmm. Now, how to get there, right, is the challenge. But if you keep saying it's simple, it's simple, it's simple, and you look at it, and as you're saying it's simple and simple, your challenge is, are you going to reach or not?
That's it. I get what you're saying.
Are you going to reach it or you're not going to reach it? But I want you to say something. I want to share something with you, though. Although I say that, I know that to get to that point to want to say, I'm going to go reach it, that part is not as simple. The solution is simple, but the mindset to realize that it's that simple, it isn't. Make sense?
Definitely. And the way you put it makes a lot more sense. That's why I have you on the show to educate not only me, but our listeners, because, wow. So I'm a bit mind blown. Maybe other people knew about it, but I didn't. I thought that, you know, the first thing that your body tells you, oh, something's wrong, appears on your skin. And so, but you're saying that it's from an internal outward. And I can see that too. And the fact that you say it is simple, if we focus too much on what could be difficult, then we will never get it done. And that mind shift that you're talking about is, you know, make it as simple as possible. Don't make it more difficult up here. And this is what I'm understanding from what you're saying. And it's so true. I mean, it's just, I think we make it much more harder for ourselves. And understanding that things don't happen overnight. And we live in a world that is instant gratification. We're New Yorkers. And this is just not for New Yorkers. I mean, pretty much all over the world, where we want something right now. And we want to see results like yesterday. And so it's important to understand that it is a journey. It's over time. Taking care of our skin is, you know, obviously the products that you sell definitely complements all that, but it also, it's a partnership and a collaboration with drinking water and staying away from toxic things and people and, you know, all
that dreams, like you were saying.
Yeah, you know, and so it's just, it takes a lot of things, not just, you know, well, I'm going to sleep an hour, you know, too earlier and that should get it done. But it's all up here, you know, in terms of my, so earlier this year, just something that, and I don't know if I shared this on my first podcast or not, but I actually started my year, something you mentioned about meditation. I started my year with fasting. I believe that, and it was a spiritual fast. I admit that it was a very spiritual fast because I realized that 2020, right? Oh, was one of the
most. We want to forget already the number, right?
I'm like, we're in 2021 right now. Thank God. But 2020 was the most interesting year all the way up to, you know, December 31. And I said, you know what? I've disconnected with my spiritual self. I disconnected myself with God. And, you know, it was reflecting in my work. It was reflecting how I was, you know, behaving in a sense, like I was very like, I wasn't in touch with emotions at all, more of frustration. Mm-hmm. And one of those things that can cause that is not being able to say no to people who waste your damn time, okay. Right? And I'm talking about just people in general. I mean, if you're single, you make sure you say yes to the right person. If you're, if you have friends, you know, they don't have to necessarily be married or have kids, but make sure that they understand that even if you're single, because, you know, one of the things, I mean, you're married, you have family, but one of the stigma is, oh, you're single, you have all the time in the world. What are you worried about? No,
yeah,
we got
yeah.
things going on, right. Right? And so for me, for example, and again, it's, you know, of course, I never make this show about me, but, you know, it's just to give you an example of what you were saying is that, you know, I do caregiving and I don't share that too often. But that was one of the reasons why I came. I remember that was the first thing I even shared with you. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so stressed. You know, I don't know this world of caregiving, right? And so, pero they see that uno está single and, you know, Brenda can handle it, right? Mm-hmm. And, but it's not necessarily the case because we're running a business. We're thinking about the future. So we're not single anymore or whatever the case may be. And so for you, you know, so for me as a single woman, running a business, doing consulting, and seeing how you, I'm like, oh my God, how does Liz does it and stay so incredibly fresh? Like, I don't know, right? Yeah. And I know one of the things was like, but Brenda, is that coffee? Is that coffee? So talk to us about your skincare product. How do you come up with the formulas and all the things that helps you stay radiant? Because I, you know, all these practice things that you said, I mean, all the things that you shared has to come into practice to complement your products. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that an accurate statement? I mean, you can't just, right. They're great, but it's just, you need to be a part of that product.
Yeah. So one of the things that I'm also a herbologist and a botanist. So one of the things I learned a lot about the healing powers of plants. And so when I started my business, I don't know, not a lot of people know this, but I started off to become a pediatrician. So I was already in the, you know, moving towards the doctrine sector. But as everything, you know, I realized that is not what I wanted to do. And actually the real reason why I found out that wasn't what I wanted, I knew I never wanted to really go forward because my family was, I just felt it wasn't. It was through, I was pregnant from my son and I, my whole left side, or was it my right side? I don't remember. That's how much I wanted. I don't care. But it got numb. And I was like, I was so much under stress that I realized, okay, I got to finish my schooling. And all of a sudden, I just fell in love with the idea of, okay, how can I help myself and my family? You know, and I started learning herbology and stuff like that. So I finished actually my degree in botany and chemistry, right? So, and I have another degree on chemistry, and then I finished my degree in biology and chemistry. So I have another degree in chemistry. And did I say that right? I finished my degree, my fourth year as a BS in biology and a botanist, and then I have another degree in chemistry. Okay, here we go.
Right.
And so, you know, the medicinal world is always in my blood. I always knew that I wanted to help people. So I never really left. So I just put in a different sector. So as I was doing my formulations, I knew that I just didn't want no toxicity. Back then, they didn't understand about no toxicity. I was a label reader from the beginning of time. You know, I remember going to the supermarket before I even became an entrepreneur. I had my two little girls back then. I would go to the supermarket, and instead of a calculator, I went with a don't laugh at me. I went with a dictionary. So I would read the labels and I would read it, and I was like, what the hell? And I would be like, I don't want that. And I would know about, you know, numbers are important to me. And sometimes, you know, I would look at what was on sale, that was better. So I would take my time. And so one time, you know, as I was I was doing checkout, the lady, this is when I realized, like, whoa, Liz, you got chill out. The lady comes up to me, she goes, hey, can you tell me which one I should buy? Should I buy this and buy this? How come they're not? And I say, whoa, why are you asking me that? She goes, I said, I tell her, and I said, but why did you ask me this? Because we see you. You're here and you're not just shopping. You are deliberately shopping. You want to make sure that you buy this and buy that. And so because of the ingredients and everything, so that background toppled over to my skincare. So I needed the people who was using my skincare 18 plus years ago to understand what was going into their skin. And I wanted to help, you know, I didn't start off helping people with problematic skin. It was just a formula, a true formula, clear and clean, transparent formula that I wanted everybody to know. And I wanted it to be sustainable, and it would help the world, you know, it was earth friendly. Then I started healing people. People were telling me, oh my God, you heal my psoriasis. Oh my God, you, not heal, right? You made my psoriasis better, because you can't heal it just by skincare. There's a lot of other stuff. Oh my God, you help my psoriasis, and you help my rosacea to some point, or you help my KP, my keratinosis pilaris. You help this, you help that. And I was like, wait, am I onto something here? What's going on? And I was like, oh, well, it makes sense, because I refused to give anyone or sell anyone products that I didn't understand what was in there. So, you know, I started off with products that was already made. And when I started seeing what was in there, I refused it. So I started doing my own stuff. And so that's when, as I was doing that and healing people, that's when I realized I'm going to do what I can help psoriasis and all rosacea people going through all these things. Because what I started seeing 3 or 4 years in my skincare industry was, as I was doing parties and stuff, that people were going through very chronic emotional distress because of the skin ailments. They were being bullied. They didn't care what age you were in. They were being bullied. They weren't getting the jobs that they wanted because of the way the skin looked. You know, the people felt that they were contagious. So I was like, oh my God, that was my first huge pivot. Mm-hmm. When I realized I have to get into helping people with problematic skin. And then my mom got cancer, and then I even improved my product to even be even more appealing to people who have cancer with their senses and everything like that. So all of my, you know, all of that I've learned in my college, my botany, my herbology, my going into, you know, the scientific world, everything is put into my skincare. Everything that I do from beginning to end. And it goes through data. My friends and family are my guinea pigs. You know, I love them. We are non-toxic, no animal cruelty. We buy from as much as we can. Oh my God, I even forgot the word, but we try to buy from companies that I know gives back to the community. right? Mm-hmm. Fair trade. So we started that. We actually was recognized by our congresswoman and giving us awards. So we're an award-winning skincare company that leads the green company since the beginning. It wasn't a fad. It wasn't like, oh, you know, let me just get on the wagon. We started that. I have proof. You know, they gave us the plaque because we were the first Latino company to lead that. So it gives me pride to know that this is what I did. But also, you know, I had to close my stores in 2009 and then come back in 2003 and then close it again. So I've had hardship in my business, there are sometimes when I realize, conchale, what am I doing? But the idea is that my skincare is the formulation of what I believe in, my mission, to help people feel good in their own skin. Right. And the health coaching came because it is part of my mission, and it was only, I mean, I started in 2005. I did it in Ayurvedic, but I didn't do anything with it. And two amazing people in my life had to tell me there's something missing. And that was me now allowing myself to know that my business was different. It wasn't about just skincare. It was about the whole person, mind, body, and soul.
Right.
So that's how my skincare, you know, kept evolving. And whoever buys skincare from me is not just, oh, let me put this, let me put that, let me put that. Everything is from my education, from my experience, from my research, from, you know, everything, right? So.
Wow, that's incredible. How do you, were you scared at any time or any time of your business growth? I mean, it's still developing, it's still growing. I don't think even a company with 100 years is still hopefully has more time to grow. Do you have any doubts about anything? And if you do, what are they? And if you did, how do you overcome it?
I do have doubts many times, and I realized that it's part of me already. My perfectionism sometimes gets to me. And no matter how much I say I'm not going to be, and I've done a podcast on that with other friends, but it's still in me. It's how much now you're going to let it control you. Mm-hmm. And I do have doubts. You know, just recently I woke up, actually it wasn't recently, it was just actually, I think today I was talking to my intern. I had a very hard day yesterday. I was out doing personal stuff, but it was a beautiful day too, because I was able to spend time with my children. But heart and my body, and I woke up this morning, and because my body felt awful, I was like, what am I doing? Why am I here? Why am I pivoting again? What? And I'm like, yo, what's happening? And I knew that was because I needed time to have some self-care. My body was going through a lot. And sometimes doubt doesn't mean that you're not good enough. Absolutely not. That has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do where our self-care state is. What are we allowing in? What are we allowing out? How are we taking care of us? You. Forget about us. You. Not your house. Not your daughters or your sons or your husband or your boyfriends or whatever. You. That's that happens. That because also when you allow people to tell you, which wasn't my case yesterday. My case was just that I was so exhausted that I felt like I was doing so much work and I wasn't going anywhere. I was like, so what the hell, you know? Because I was so tired, that happened. But other people can come into your lives, which I've been in there, and they don't mean to, but they tell you things that make you doubt you. And they don't mean to, but then you have to make a conscious decision of how many times are you going to allow people to tell you these things. And I remember that the first love of my life was to become a high-end baker. As I was going to college, I was doing some baking. I wanted to have a baking enterprise where I can help people take what they're feeling, what's their emotion, and creating this beautiful masterpiece. I shared it with someone. And back then I wasn't as strong as I am now. someone that I thought was very close, you know, really wanted my self-interest, although I had I understood, not maybe, but that's all I had, right? And it was bashed down.
Bashed. What do you mean it was bashed? Talking down to it?
Yeah, why would you want to be a baker? The baker's nothing. Why would you want to do that? It's nothing. I didn't understand that they didn't understand. Mm-hmm. They talk like that because they don't understand. It's not their mm-hmm. fault, whatever. But I took it to heart. And I didn't know that I did because I never pursued it. Mm-hmm. And I went to class to do all that, to do the flowers and all that. By the way, all that baking thing that I learned is going to go into beautiful decorations for my next line. So, hey, there you go. You will always have a little something that tells you, you know, that makes you feel like you're doubting yourself. Embrace it. Love it. And I challenge you also to, if it comes too much, step back and say, wait, why is this happening to me? Why does this keep coming up to me? Because I feel, honestly, if you don't take the time to understand why this is happening, it's just going to get worse. Some people might tell you, well, pass through it. Don't let it get to you. Move on. I did that. And I had like 5 breakdowns. I don't recommend that to no one. Sit down with the emotions. And if you can, journal them, write them, figure it out why this is happening. And as you do that, do it with love. It might scare you. It might get you angry. It might go whatever you need to do. Go through the emotions and then move forward. I believe in anchors. I remember I said this to some people. I put anchors in my life and they were like, anchors? What is anchors? You know, again, you know, it's because they don't know and they're afraid of the unknown. Why is anchors? Anchors for me are negative. It's like pulling you down. It's like, no, let me explain to you. When you are going through emotions, you're not going to just gonna say, okay, yes, the thought of saying I'm done, it is instant. You got to decide. But now the process is the hard work, right? So when I go through those process of making sure that the doubt doesn't make me quit or make me go through a very bad hole, I anchor things in my life that are gonna feed the positive only. So, you know, have positive people that really care about me and I care about them. You are an anchor. Right. So you and I, you are one of my best anchors, because doesn't matter. You can come up to me and talk to me and, you know, no judgment. You know, there's no judgment. The same thing with you, with me. No judgment.
None.
So if mm-hmm. we give each other positive feedback or negative feedback, it comes from the heart. It isn't ego. So these are the anchors that I tell everyone. My friend, you will have doubt at one point in your time. You're going to ask your questions like, you know, who am I? You know, I need to learn more before I start this and do that. I, you know, let them all come in, embrace them, write them down if you have to, and find out the root cause of that. And through that, you start growing. You start developing how fast when you hear the doubts. Oh, I have doubts. Let me hear. Okay, is this okay? You're going to see how fast you're going to jump higher and higher. So it's not like the doubt's going to be like, oh my God, oh my, the doubt's gonna be, oh, you're there? Hi, how are you? Boom. Yeah, I see you, boom. And I see, you know, it's like you can get out of that rut faster.
So do you find that even the closest people that you count on and you trust are the first ones that can possibly create doubt in you, because you're entrusting them, just like the example with the cake, you know, you entrusted this person about your idea of putting up a shop. How effective is someone that you trust so much, like our friends, our circle, our mentors? Is there another way to look at that instead of just creating, you know, thinking about it as a doubt or creating doubt? Is there another way to look at that?
Like I said, the first thing that back then I didn't know how, right? Mm-hmm. But I knew that I wasn't supposed to share it with this person, but I didn't have anyone else. I knew it. Sometimes you know, but because you feel, then comes, oh no, they may not, you know, maybe, you know, they'll say something nice about it, or you need their permission or whatever. First of all, you know, don't do it. If you need to say it, just go to your beautiful quiet space and say it out to the universe. If you have the one that you can trust, and say to the universe, I'm going to do this. And then you write it on the piece of paper or whatever it is, that's yours, right? But now the way I know how to deal with this is, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. And I move on.
Right. But it's also important. Yeah, that's very important to, I mean, I think any feedback, and I was talking about it the other day. I don't remember with who, because I talked to so many people throughout the day, but I remember having this conversation that it was a veteran that I was talking to, and we were talking about feedback, constructive feedback, and I believe that any feedback is good. Right. It depends how you give it.
Right, exactly.
Right. Right. So, and it also depends on how you receive it. I think number one, how you receive it also depends on how you believe in yourself first. I think the number one person that needs to believe in you is you. Right. And, you know, I could use some flowery words to say, you know, hell with everyone. But, you know, you have to really have that confidence in you. Yeah. And for those who are tuning in, and if you have those friends who are entrepreneurs, support them, share wisdom of encouragement. And, you know, my mom always says to me, and if you can't say anything right or good, don't say it in anything at all, because what happens is you feed into that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that creates a little bit of an animosity and then separation. Mm-hmm. And all for something that might not have been so intentional to create that situation. And so it's so important to surround ourselves, you know, with folks, you know, that can give you constructive feedback, which is not always what we want to hear, but it's also important to hear. It's important to know how you deliver that message, yeah. So much how you receive that message, right. You know, because you also have to think about the person who's given it to you, right? Where that person is in their life. Maybe it's a family, maybe it's a family member who, you know, are from a different generation and don't really understand the concept of, you know, of entrepreneurship. Right. Right. You know, another thing is, you know, we've been working a lot on our dreams and making it happen to the point that we've been pivoting so much that sometimes we even have to take on, which I love how we call it, a sponsor, you know, to support those dreams and to support those anchors, you know, and your authenticity is what really anchors me, because like, listen, I think I have to get a sponsor, because you know all these pivots that I'm going through and all these changes, I'm gonna pay the bills, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, but anything that's happening with the business is going back into the business. And here you are today in 2021 talking about your rebranding, you're pivoting, you're moving forward, you're marching ahead, and it's, you know, it's not easy. This is why we're calling your podcast, you know, Behind the Scenes with Elizabeth Santiago, mompreneur, entrepreneur, Latinapreneur, wifepreneur. I mean, so many things under that umbrella. So I commend you for that. I really respect how you are so true and authentic and you speak true. I commend how you set up boundaries. I respect how people, you know, how you speak, you know, get away from certain people in your life and, you know, set up proper, you know, distance from folks who are just going to put you down, or not create anything at all, but just be a dead weight, you know, because there are other people like that too. But I think most importantly is how you look at yourself. Is that one of your interns that I hear back there?
No, that's my kitty. it's time for them to eat. So she's like, Mom, I have to kitty.
Awesome. They're adorable. I saw them right behind you and I was like, oh, look at that, making his debut. So you know, thank you so much. What else? I mean, you've mentioned a lot of advice, you've given us little tokens and stuff. In many ways, you're even talking about imposter syndrome and you know, how we can sometimes create doubts with our own skill sets, and it's just not that, it's just really how to combat them and overcome them. You spoke a lot about taking breaks and how important it is to take a break. You know, right now you're about to take a break, in the sense of, you know, you're not doing another show because you have to kind of recenter yourself. What other advice can you provide for those who are, you know, in deep years in their entrepreneurship, and also for young entrepreneurs who are tackling this journey?
Yeah. One of the things is don't take things so serious. As entrepreneurs, everything is important. I get it. Everything's important, right? But try not to take everything so serious. Allow yourself to have end dates, right? You know, or end time. For me,
smart goals, like set specific goals and deadlines.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of things in our plates. I get it. Everything, I don't know who said it. It was a famous computer guy. I don't know if it was Steve Jobs or something like that. I can't remember. But you always, in your business, there's always something to do. You never finish. You will never, ever finish. But there has to be an end time. So you take an end time, you create a time. And you know, when you go to work, right, someone else's job, when you go to somebody else's entity, like, I don't know, if you worked in a corporation, you have a time, you clock out, you clock in, you clock out, you clock in. That's how your business should be. And, you know, when you do that, you're honoring time, not only for the business, but yours, your time. To grow, be better, so you can feel happier to go back to your business the next time. And that can happen whether you are a startup or you've been in business for 50 years, and then you know, 20 years, 30 years, and then you're realizing, I'm burned out. And then you realize it's because everything that's important for your business is 24 hours, so you have to have boundaries. The other thing is invest in your self-care. It is incredibly important to understand that sometimes you need to just step back and just say, okay, I'm going to be out from Facebook. I know people say it, but it's so, so incredibly beautiful. I had to do it a couple of times. Get out of Facebook, get out of social media, whatever it is that you're doing. And don't be on it for maybe a day or two. And then when you come back, only set like 3 times a day that you're going to do it. That's it, right? Because there's so much more out there for you to do. Honestly, sweetheart, and since 2015, maybe for 4 years, maybe, I was just in front of the computer. I wasn't manufacturing the way I used to do. I wasn't getting up. And because of that, my whole back, my body, my mental well-being, everything was like, I'm going to wake up again. You know, thankfully, you know, of course, I have my son. He's the only one here, and my husband, but they weren't enough. I was like, ay, otra vez, you know, another day doing nothing. And the same thing. And I realized, because I was just doing one thing. Do different things. Enjoy your life. If you're a start entrepreneur, this is huge. I just had this conversation with my intern. If you're a startup entrepreneur, you want to be around people who are strong-minded, right? That they've seen they get it together, but then you realize that they're not, you know, if they're not happy, because one strong man that is good, but one is the way, I don't know how to explain it before I don't know, without coming out of context, but know that if you know the difference between leading and being a boss, let's put it that way, between leading and being a boss. And when you lead in a way that you are helping others, but not belittling them and not thinking that you're better than them, you're going to grow, whether you have your business or whether you are working for someone else. That is that, you know, and I share that with everybody, even with my beautiful clients, that they're like, you know, what do I do here? And I help them build relationship with their team members. Honor everything you do. Love everything you do. Know that you are doing it. Know that you are worth it. Know that you know your shit, you know? But also know you are human. You are human. You're allowed to make mistakes. You're allowed to realize, holy shit, I need to change this. Your business constantly should be changing. People say, oh, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Yeah, but it gets boring when it gets the same thing.
Set up new challenges. Absolutely.
Challenge, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and put your personal self first. Put your self-care and your personal life first. I promise you that you're going to be happy if you do that now.
Awesome. Boom. Thank you so much for that. I mean, that's incredibly true. Is being able to balance it all. It's really what I heard there, and really set up proper boundaries and be unapologetic about it. You know, when you want to take a break, take a break. You don't have to apologize to anyone. No one's paying your bills, and no one's actually feeding that company but you. You know, I mean, it obviously takes a community, but what I mean by that, for any of those things that can set you back, just be unapologetic. No is no.
I feel that if you don't, you can
burn yourself.
But you can't be that leader that they need. You can't really.
And you can't be authentic.
You're gonna always be grouchy and moody, and then you know you don't want to be, but you don't have. You can't. There's nothing. No other way, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, we definitely talk about leadership a lot in Rise Up HR, and I heard, you know, earlier in this conversation how important it is to really set that that team spirit by really leveling up who you are as a human being, because how can you function as a leader if people are going to kind of see you a little, you know, they're going to question your leadership techniques and how you function if you can't really take care of yourself, really is representative of the company, to be honest with you.
Oh, I love that. See what you just said? Yes, I love that. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's really, it does go hand in hand, but, you know, maybe two more questions, but I really want our listeners to know the name of your company. And I feel like I should have just started that out, even though I've announced it, what it is. But I want you to tell us very quickly in less than a minute of what does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
How do you pronounce it too?
Yes. So The name of my company is Celebrite. This is the second time I renamed my business. When I renamed it, I knew that it was about celebrating who we are and everything that we have accomplished, whether it's a small thing or a big thing, because I wasn't celebrating anything of me and it was costing me pain. And I said, nope, whatever I do is about celebrating. So the word celebrate was there. I knew that I wanted to change the name of my company, but I also knew that I wanted my children to have this legacy, because my husband's always been there, but I wanted my children. And never in my wildest dream thought that I was going to do this. So as I'm talking to my husband saying, if I'm going to do my business again, and that was before I had opened my store in 2005, because I started in 1998, really moving this thing. I said, if I'm going to do my business again, I'm going to rename it. And it's about celebrating, celebrating, celebrating. I kept telling him on the phone, celebrating, celebrating, celebrating. Something told me, write the name of your children. And I'm writing the name of my children, and there it was, Celine, Brittany, and Aiden with a Y, Celebrite. Actually, the question was, God, you got to give me a sign, because I cannot go back not understanding what's my purpose. You have to give me a sign. And I never asked this in my entire life, because I never thought I was worthy of that. Said, I don't know what to do, but I want to just celebrate everything I do with not just me, but with the world, but you've got to give me a freaking huge sign. And when I saw it, Celebrite, I just looked up and I said, okay, here we go. So it's the name of my children. Celebrate means, and if you see, it has a flower, which we're going to be rebranding that, the logo, because we're in Instagram and social media world, so it's hard to look at the social media world with my name, but the flower represents new growth, always growing, anchored, and celebrate means always celebrating yourself and never quitting. So the logo is, the name of my company has a very strong root of loving who you are, celebrating who you are, and you're always growing and changing. So
love it.
Celebrate.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. So how do we find you? How do we get in touch with you to learn more about your new upcoming product, your brand?
So right now you can find Celebrate in social media. And Facebook is Celebrate, Celebrite. IG is the same. Twitter, although we're not working a lot in Twitter, but you can also find us there as Celebrite. But also, I'm opening another entity, another business with Liz Santiago. So soon you're gonna see the website Liz Santiago, IGs and Liz Santiago. But for now, you can find me at Celebrite in all social media channels. So I'm excited to meet all of you. DM me with any questions you may have. I'm really, really excited to support as many of you as I can in any way that I can.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Liz. I always enjoy talking to you. I think that when we connect, you know, we're always on the phone like for like just 10 minutes and then we see an hour and a half go by, like, oh my gosh.
We're like eating eating our food or I'm cooking or whatever, but it's, the conversation is too juicy, too real. Yeah. So beautiful. Yeah.
Well, I definitely appreciate you coming on to Rise Up HR. I think a little while ago, right before coming on, like, yeah, Liz, what is it about HR that you don't like? And you like everything. But, you know, I appreciate that. And I think some of the reasons that, unfortunately, you know, we have to kind of reset that, rebrand HR altogether, because we're not bad human beings. Sometimes we're in situations that sometimes don't allow us to really think authentically, unfortunately, and be authentic self. Right. And so that's what Rise Up HR is all about. So you can curse on this show, just like you did earlier. So unapologetically say whatever you want to say, but it's really being who you are as a leader, as an entrepreneur, as a mom, as a wife, and overall as a catalyst, as a woman in power. Example. So I definitely appreciate your presence here.
I want to say something about you too.
Sure.
HR is very important. It's a very important entity. I think that's where the relationship starts. I think this is, you know, that's where the jobs are given and all these amazing things, you know, team leadership, and you guys do a lot, you know, making sure you hear I can say the complaints of other people and how to, you know, all this and all that. It's a lot that you guys do, right? But I'm grateful to you for creating that family or that beautiful relationship that is missing, the vulnerability of an HR community that's missing. And you know, when I met you, I fell in love with how kind and beautiful you are. And I know that HR can be, you know, people can chew up kindness, but you're showing them, no, kindness is necessary. We're all human, and understanding and how we can balance all that you have to do so you can honor everyone. And so thank you so much, mommy, because you don't understand how much you are needed. You know, I remember sending in an application for something and HR never reached out to me and they were very rude to me. And I was like, I don't like you guys no more. I'm going somewhere else, you know? So I'm happy that you have this amazing thing. And a lot of people need you, love. A lot of HR people need you.
Well, I definitely appreciate the feedback. And you know, it takes a community. It takes collaboration. It takes a village. And certainly takes people like yourself to acknowledge that, you know, empathy goes all the way and to be human. We're allowed to be human beings and we're allowed to say no. And we're allowed to decide who we want to spend our time with. And we're allowed to, you know, give up folks who are toxic as much as we want to give up food. So, you know, we're allowed to be who we are and whatever creates our makeup of who we are. Yes. And never change that makeup. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
So speaking of skincare, you know, that makeup, pun intended. Okay.
That's
well,
fine.
Thank you so much, Liz. Fuerte abrazo.
Igual, mi amiga.
Thank you for tuning in. And oh my God, this is amazing. And, you know, for those who are tuning in, follow up on Instagram at @riseup_HR. If you have any comments or feedback about this podcast or have any questions for Liz, please send us your message to connect@riseuphr.net. That's all for now. We'll be back. Thank you for tuning in. Have a good night.
Night, night, everyone.
Bye. Fuerte abrazo. Ciao.